faith and salvation. To focus on this lesson, let's add two words. Man's faith, God's gift of salvation. The two work together. They are not connected unless man wills. Salvation is in the air. Salvation is round us, just like air and light are round us. We can walk in the light, we can breathe the air, or we can refuse. And faith, gift of Jesus Christ, faith is that activity that the Spirit engenders in man that makes him willing to allow the proffered salvation of God to function in his life. Part number one. Talking of Abraham, we will consider obeying in faith. Abraham believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out, he was 75 years old at this time, and he obeyed. He had no idea of what God wanted him to do, and he had no idea where God wanted him to be. He went into a land that he did not know. But until he was 99 years old, Abraham only had half faith, or maybe a smaller proportion. As the days went on, God unfolded to Abraham and Sarah that they were to have a son who was to be the progenitor of the Messiah. Until they were 99, they worked hard at having a son, and never did. And although when Abraham was 99, he laughed at the prospect of having a son by Sarah, having in his own way had a son by Hagar, God said, if you believe, you and Sarah will have a son. And Abraham and Sarah, for the first time, really believed and had a son whose name was Isaac. We will see many times in this quarter's lessons that Abraham's faith is held up as the ideal. And here again, to clarify the issue, I will add James' statement of Abraham's works. And focus your attention on a very simple revelatory truth. Sarah conceived by Abraham and brought forth a son. If Abraham and Sarah had slept in separate beds, Isaac would never have been born. Abraham and Sarah had to work by faith to have a son. Paul in Romans and Galatians sees the faith of Abraham. James sees the works. One without the other is useless and impotent. Part number two, though he slay me. This section we will think of Job. Job was evidently not a Hebrew. Among the heathen were those who worshipped the true God, and Job was one, like Jethro and like Melchizedek. Jethro the Midianite, Melchizedek the Canaanite, Job the Uzzite, feared God and worshipped. But as we look at the opening part of the book of Job, calamity follows calamity. And through these trials, Job's confidence, his faith, his trust, his committal to God is severely tried. The last chapter of Job tells us that he abhorred himself and repented in dust and ashes. He realized he was a sinner. And by faith he could declare, though he slay me, yet I will serve him. And his faith went beyond this life to the days when after this flesh, with his resurrected, remade, recreated eyes, he would see his living Redeemer. Part number 3, trusting in adversity. This section deals with the man Moses. The Bible presents his life in 3 stages. The first 40 years, the son of Pharaoh's daughter, the heir apparent to the Egyptian throne, educated, cultured, wealthy, with the life of a Pharaoh before him and the power of a world ruler at his fingertip, Moses turned away, wishing rather to suffer with the people of God. But he made a mistake in the way he sought to liberate Israel and spent the next 40 years as a shepherd in Midian. Writing 2 world bestsellers, the book of Genesis and the book of Job, both tending to be autobiographical, both starting with nothing and ending with everything. Job particularly started with everything, then had nothing, then ended with double portion. Moses could see in his own experience the workings of the divine will. Part number 3 of this section deals with how he led Israel from Egypt into the promised land by faith. Part number 4, submissive to God. In this section, we will consider the father of John the Baptist, the priest Zacharias, and Elizabeth. Both aged, childless, promised by an angel to have a son, exercising lack of faith, then allowing Christ to give them the gift and having John the Baptist. Nicodemus had earlier asked Christ, how? Zacharias also asked, how? Both these hows indicated incredulity. They didn't believe. They are doubting. Mary, on the other hand, asked how. But her how is one of trust. She wanted to learn the divine methodology. She wanted to be told what she ought to do. And when she was informed that she should submit and that the Holy Ghost would take charge of everything, that is precisely what she did. Nicodemus, the sophisticated, the teacher, the intellectual, full of doubt. Zacharias, the priest, in the very act of interceding on Israel's behalf at the altar of incense, wants to know how. But Mary, the uneducated, the unsophisticated, the simple, trusting girl of Nazareth, asks her Heavenly Father, how shall I do this? And is told, trust, and I will do it for you. Part number 5, clinging to God. Then Jesus departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the coasts, prayed to him, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. Strange prayer from a stranger to the commonwealth of Israel. A Canaanite, a Phoenician woman, whom Bible students for centuries have thought to be an unwed mother, Her child is in need. She needs mercy. She cannot get peace by all the gods of Tyre and Sidon and all the activities of life. She wants something better. She needs mercy from the Son of David. Christ then tested her and tested the apostles. The 12 were clutching their garments to themselves lest they be defiled by this creature from heathenism. And Christ went along with them for a little while he checked the depth of the committal of this woman. He talked about dogs, implying that she was one, and this pleased the disciples. He talked about the master's meat given to the children, and that pleased them too. But then when she humorously said that lap dogs are often thrown a titbit from a plate and she'd be satisfied, Christ loved her and more than satisfied her. Her faith, her trust, her sense of humor, her following of light, her readiness to leave her pagan background for an alien religion, all exhibited the ministry of the Spirit drawing to Christ, pulling up from the slough of disgusting pagan practices into the highlands of Christian living. And she followed the light and found the light. Part number 6, Focus of the Week. We've thought about Abraham, Job, Moses, Zechariah, the woman. All so different. Some strong, some apparently weak. Some towering above the rest, world leaders, internationally known. And then we see a woman and a humble priest. They come into the picture, they disappear as quickly as they came. They had one contact with Christ, and they made it. And these 5 people, are they like the 5 virgins? Half faithful, waiting, sleeping, awakened, filled with oil, lamps burning, ready. As we think of this lesson, let us ask ourselves the simple question, where do I stand in relation to all this? How am I reacting? Where do I place myself in this list? Do I have everything? Have I lost everything? Am I full of questions? Is my name Job? Do I think I know? Do I have a divine destiny that my mother has told me, that pulled me out of the bulrushes onto the throne of universal power? Can I go it alone? Am I interceding at the very throne of grace before the innermost veil? Do I still ask questions? Am I outside Israel? A harlot mother with a dying child for whom I feel responsibility and tremendous guilt? Am I a dog, accepting crumbs? He will give me a banquet of love. Faith, salvation. In between, man's choice.